Today, we are imagining the possibilities with Mike Fowler, Vice President, Information Technology at Intellia. Mike was an early joiner to the company starting in 2016. He previously worked at Momentum Pharmaceuticals for 10 and a half years. Mike holds a bachelor's in Management Information Systems from the University of Oklahoma. Mike is also a member and lead of the Community Events Cultural Ambassadors here at Intellia. Let's dive in.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. In our show intro, we provided a quick introduction, but we'd love to have you start and share your elevator pitch version of your bio.
Sure. I guess I would say that went to school for management information systems back in the day whenever the dot-com boom was happening and everybody was like, sky's the limit, you can do whatever you want to do within IT. And as soon as I got out of school, a lot of the jobs had just, you know, crashed and everything like that. But it also coincided with my wife and I moving up to Boston. And so my first kind of real-world job was working at a hedge fund company where I was their only IT person there. And it was very challenging just to kind of learn the ropes working at a company like that where there's a lot of pressure, a lot of deadlines. And then I got into the biotech industry after that job and worked for a company called Momenta Pharmaceuticals and worked there for 10 years, mostly in infrastructure and operations. But it gave me a really good foundation of kind of what good looks like as far as like working within an IT team, how to build a team, and also from like a, you know, systems and regulatory requirements and things like that. It was an extremely rewarding and educational experience. And then after I left Momenta, I was looking for head of IT jobs, and I found one here at Intellia. And so this is my first job being the head of IT for a biotech company. And I've been able to kind of see the company grow since the beginning to where we are today.
That's great. And we'll dive a little more into, you know, how you've seen Intellia change and grow over time since you have been here since I think 2016. So
right.
Excited to learn a little more about that. But you mentioned you were at several different places prior to coming to Intellia. So can you speak about how you found Intellia and what drew you to interview with us?
Sure. I was approached by a recruiter who knew that I was looking for a head of IT job. And I'd been looking for a while to kind of look for a company that seemed really interesting. There are a lot of different options, a lot of different biotech companies that are out there. And whenever I came upon the job posting for Intellia and talked to the recruiter about it, it was very exciting because it seemed like it was cutting edge. It was working with rare diseases. It was working with patients who really need treatment options that only companies like Intellia can provide. And I don't know, it just seemed really exciting to me. And so like during the interview process, I got to meet a lot of the people who were, you know, some of the founders of the company and people who were here really early on. And I got some insight into why they were excited about the company. And that got me very excited about the role and the opportunity of this kind of company. And it seemed groundbreaking, and it still does. I mean, to this day, it's been, like I said earlier, like just very exciting to be part of something like this, where it seems like it's the future of medicine is really the only way I can think of to describe it, where it's not really just personalized medicine, but it also is, from a technology perspective, it does seem like it's the future, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. The company Intellia started in 2014. You joined in 2016, so very early on. Do you remember your employee number or how many people were at the company?
Yes, I do. So whenever I interviewed, we were right around like 60 people. I think I was like 65.
Wow.
So it was pretty different. I mean, back then we were, you know, we fit into two small office spaces. Like we had two buildings, one on Hampshire Street, one in Brookline Street. And so those are about a mile between each other. So I would get my steps in walking back and forth between the buildings to help them out. And I was their only IT hire. We had a like kind of a managed services company that was helping us with some of like the desktop stuff. But as far as the IT side, I was the first person here. And that was good and bad because I found out, you know, at the very beginning that we didn't have like solid backups and things like that were in place. And one quick funny story is that whenever I got here, I asked about the budget, and our budget for that first year was $50,000. And they had already spent half of it on a TV in the conference room. So I didn't have a lot to work with from a budget perspective, but I was like, here's the list of things that, you know, we've discovered in the environment that we don't have as far as like backups or kind of a solid IT infrastructure foundation that we really needed to get. And so I was able to, you know, operate a little bit more than that budget and kind of get things going, and also to get us to a place where we had kind of the core needs in place for backups and all that stuff. But that same year, we also moved to 40 Erie Street. So it was a very, very busy time where we were kind of running out of space. We needed to consolidate people and equipment into one large new facility. And so that was also exciting. We also went public, I think, within a month after I arrived. So whenever I was interviewing, I was asking them about, like, you know, at what point do you think we'll go public? And they're like, oh, probably like in a year or so. Like, it's going to be quite a while. And then as soon as I started, they're like, we're going to go public in a month. So we need to get all of our policies and procedures in place. And so it was just, it was really busy right out of the gate. And that's the kind of environment I enjoy working in. You know, I don't like to be bored, and I've never been bored a day of my life working here. But it's been, you know, that's been a good thing as far as like the progress that the company's made and just the evolution of the company's been fantastic.
Wow. And now we have 6 offices. One is Brookline still, but so you've brought online 5 new offices. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, not just me. I mean, my team for sure has had a big hand in all of those things where they're experts now at, you know, getting a building live and knowing all the requirements for all the wiring and Wi-Fi and domain controllers, firewalls, all that stuff. And so that I feel like it's almost like old hat for us as far as like bringing on a new building. But it's challenging to support that many buildings. That's kind of the downside. Yeah. So it spreads everybody out.
That's a good point. And then I feel like I have to imagine another pivotal moment was COVID and 2020 and just having to all of a sudden have this virtual employee component. What was that like?
It was challenging. I mean, luckily a lot of our infrastructure that we already had in place was just fine. And so I remember getting a phone call from Marika, I think over the weekend, saying, hey, if employees need to work from home for a while, can our systems handle it? And I talked to Oase over the weekend to ask him about like licenses and things like that. And we were well covered.
Nice.
And so from a technology perspective, we were fine. From a support perspective, it was fairly challenging because now we had a lot of people who were suddenly working from home with only their laptop and not their monitor or the docking station, keyboard, mouse, all that stuff. And they're, you know, working with their home internet. And sometimes that wasn't as good as what it could have been. And at the same time, a lot of the supply chain kind of went out the window. So whenever people were looking for upgraded Wi-Fi for their houses or computer monitors or laptops, like all those things were disappearing pretty immediately after the beginning of the pandemic. But what we ended up doing was we invited employees to, you know, go into the office and take their desk setups home for the most part, especially if they were going to be a hybrid or a remote employee. And then we also just started ordering as much stuff as we could find out there on the internet and getting that shipped to us. And so it wasn't so bad. Another thing that we rolled out within like a month or two of the beginning of the pandemic was Teams. And so we were using, I think, WebEx at the time, and not everybody had accounts, but we had Office 365. And so we were kind of quickly able to like pivot to doing something different. Like we need to find a better solution for
Wow.
Supporting people in this type of environment, and teams seemed to fit the bill for us. So we ended up pushing that out, but it was a wild year as far as like having the help desk, like desktop team members were on site throughout the entire pandemic every day. But then supporting, you know, a large number of people who were suddenly working remotely or hybrid, and, you know, trying to figure all those things out with, you know, we have a great operations team that was really instrumental in kind of getting all the building related things needed. Like they had like the gateways people had to walk through that would take your temperature.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those? We were spraying this like sanitation stuff, like it was almost like a vaporized something for the labs to like try to spray down the air. I mean, there were a number of different things that a bunch of teams had to do to kind of get us going. Not to mention that the scientists helped us by creating this large kind of database for like hotel spaces for like tracking who's on site, booking desks, like all those things. Before we had software that could do that, we had a number of different people within the organization who had skills in those areas, helping us with develop things for that as well. So, I mean, it was a good creative time as far as like people trying to solve problems, but it was, you know, stressful and challenging just like anything else. So.
Yeah. I joined in November 2020, and I have to say it was such a smooth onboarding. I got everything. Teams was already gone. So you all turned it around quick.
Well, thanks. Over time, we've been able to hire experts in different areas. And I think that that's true for the broader company as well, where, you know, instead of having some people who have just a general knowledge of some scientific area, they're hiring like experts who have been doing this for a few years at other companies that they're bringing in to do something really specific. And I think that that's been a really positive thing for us as a company to be able to bring in that expertise as we've grown.
Fascinating. Good changes though, like you said.
They are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big changes in a lot of them happening in a very strange time also, so.
For sure.
As you mentioned, your team was small when you joined, it was just you. And then over time it slowly grew, but right now you have a pretty large team of around 20 people reporting to you. So I can imagine that feels a lot different than the earlier days you were here. Can you share any tips or recommendations you have for managing such a large team across different areas of IT?
Sure. So one big tip is hire the best people that you can to fill the gaps. And so as you're growing, what you're constantly doing is having to learn new things and having to fill the gap. So like an example of that would be that, like whenever we were about to start clinical trials, we didn't have experts on our team who knew all of the ins and outs of like clinical trial software as an example. And so Joffre and I were, you know, attending different sessions, talking to our peer groups at other companies, and trying to figure out, you know, what do we need to plan for and budget for as far as like systems, but we're not experts in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, we were able to hire experts within our team after we had tried to like fill the gap for a while. And so I think that for any growing department or growing company, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that you have to learn and fill that gap for a while until you're able to hire. And then whenever you're given an opportunity to hire, you should hire the best person to fill that role. And that's an area where I feel like we've been fairly successful, not just within my group, but as a company where, you know, we're able to hire someone who can do something that's highly specialized and take it to the next level. And then you're able to actually delegate and hand off a lot of that work to somebody else.
Yeah.
And so you have to remove the ego out of it and think, oh, I'm going to do this myself and it's going to be great and I'll get credit for it. I think you have to set a lot of that aside and hand it over to somebody else. And oftentimes that other person that you're handing it off to knows significantly more than you do about a topic. And so even though like I'm leading an IT team, I have experts in different areas of my team where they know more than I do. And that's a good thing because one person can't know everything and you're not an expert in everything. And so what you want to do is hire people who can who can fill the gap and who can take things to a better place than you would have. And that's a big tip, I think. And then also, one of my mentors said a while back, don't do something that you're paying somebody else to do. And there's really two reasons for that. One is that, if you're standing in the way of somebody that you hired to do something specific, then you're standing in the way of their development. And you're also, kind of blocking something that could easily be done by somebody else. And so I think that that's maybe a good tip as well, where if you already have an expert on your team who's able to do something, if you try to do their role for them, or if you are like standing in the way of it because of your ego, then it's not going to be done as well probably. And you're maybe limiting their development and their opportunity within the company. And so I think that if you hire someone to do something specific, you need to let them do their role. So
great advice. I'm going to totally switch gears for a second. We talk a little bit on the podcast about cultural ambassadors. This is our employee-led group. They typically are around different categories like diversity, equity, and inclusion, wellness, and sustainability. But you are the executive sponsor for the Community Events Cultural Ambassadors. So I'm curious if you can share a little bit more about that experience.
Sure. Yeah, that's one of the, I think that's probably one of the favorite things that I do at Intellia is participate in that group. We have a fairly small team within the community events team. And we essentially are looking for volunteer opportunities or donation opportunities for different organizations around the Boston metro area. So one of the things that was really important maybe 5 years ago was we talked to the executives about cultural ambassadors and kind of sponsoring these initiatives for, you know, volunteering and things like that. And one of the things that we heard loud and clear from the executives was they wanted it to be a really local experience, meaning that like we're helping the local community or the local neighborhood specifically if we could. Mm-hmm. And so we partner with organizations like CASPAR, which is like a homeless shelter that's right down the street from two of our buildings. And we do things like Cooking with CASPAR, which I know that the HR team did over the summer. Yeah. So thank you for doing that. But we also do their Give Homelessness the Boot drive every winter. Essentially, employees are purchasing boots and pants and jackets and things like that for some of the homeless clients that are at the homeless shelter down the street in order to give them something new for the new year. And so what I really like about it is that we aren't just raising money for different groups, but we're also spending time volunteering. And so a lot of it's like after hours as far as like some of the volunteer efforts, but we do things like cleaning up the Esplanade along the river. We volunteered at the East End House, which essentially is like sorting through food donations. We volunteer at like YMCAs as far as like tutoring kids. CASPAR is like I mentioned, like the Cooking with CASPAR or the food drive. We've also worked with making blankets for Project Linus and another organization as well. And so we just try to help as many different groups as we can. Waltham Farms is another one where we're up there. It's like a community farm in Waltham. And so it is, it's really rewarding. And I think it's important for us as employees of Intellia to show that we care. And mm-hmm. that's really the main thing about it is, you know, we're working really hard at all the things that we do for Intellia. But I think that spending a little bit of time on our own time to support the local community and to represent Intellia in a positive way, I think is a major benefit for ourselves as well as the community too.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we're really lucky to have you in your group because I don't know, everyone moves so fast or so focused on their day-to-day job, which is important. That's why we come to work every day. But it is nice to have that reminder that we can give back to the community around us, and having you all set those up for us, you couldn't make it easier. It's like literally just show up is really helpful.
We try to, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Do you remember when they started or when you joined this group? I'm wondering like how far back it goes.
It was I think it was probably 6 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I think the first group I was in was the like values and engagement team before had that part of the HR team that was doing it. So that was focused on like employee surveys. It was also focused on like the recognition program at Intellia. So we had the, like back in the day, we had like the Lego bricks that we would hand out. And it was really just a way to make sure that we were saying thank you to our employees instead of just, hey, we need to do all these things. And we're always like heads down doing our work. It's always really important also to recognize people for a job well done. And I think that that group early on in the cultural ambassadors team is a really important reminder for employees just to, you know, not only live by our values, but also to make sure that we're recognizing and saying thank you to people who are doing such a good job. So
yeah, very cool. Well, we're glad to have you and the team leading all of these great efforts.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
Definitely. And I've really enjoyed participating in some of those events as well. Yeah. So it definitely adds a lot of meaning to my day-to-day job as well. Switching gears a bit, you mentioned previously that a mentor had given you some advice that you used in your role. So could you share who has been your most important professional mentor?
Sure. I actually have a few mentors that I've been working with over the years. And I would say that like they're the two that are probably the biggest influence on me are my former boss, this guy named John Masso, who's had a few different like head of IT roles around the biotech community. He was the first person I worked for at a biotech company who was not only just a nice person to work for, but also someone who was really helpful in teaching me a lot of the like right ways to do things and kind of standards within the regulatory space and things like that within biotech. And so he and I had a lot of conversations over the years about professional development, personal development. And I remember like one major turning point was when I told him that I really wanted to manage people. And he was like, he's like, I should have asked you about this before, but I never thought about that. And he's like, I wish I would have known that. And so from that point forward, you know, we were talking about like how I can get to where I want to go to and what's important and what are the types of things that he's dealing with that I need to think about as well. And so he's been, you know, over the years is someone that I feel like I can really talk to about like what I'm thinking in my career and where I feel like I'm headed and to kind of bounce some ideas off of him. Another mentor is this guy named John Larkin. He worked for like a large pharmaceutical company before starting on his own consulting company. But he formed this group called the Birds of a Feather Group. And we meet periodically throughout the year to talk about different things. And he also formed like a long time ago, this like CIO mentoring team or CIO mentoring group. And he was asking a few of us if we were interested in participating. And I was like, sign me up. Like, I definitely want to, get as much information as possible. And it's, you know, they're all like after hours. They're like, it's like you have to spend, if you want to have a good working relationship with your mentor, it's up to you to do a lot of the effort. And that's something that people need to be aware of. It's not on the mentor to guide you or help you figure out everything. Like, you kind of need to do work on your own. And so a lot of this was like after hours and going to dinners and meeting people for lunch or for coffee to ask them questions. And what you'll find is that a lot of these mentors are more than willing to share their experiences and to help you as much as humanly possible. You know, they've been asked a lot of the same hard questions that were asked in some of these meetings. And so they provide a lot of just helpful advice. And so I've been participating in that program for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years, something like that, where, you know, I've gotten to know a lot of the other, you know, biotech leaders around here and really just learn from them. And so that's something that I highly recommend for anybody who's looking to do any kind of professional development is like, look for the different organizations that are out there or different groups that are out there that may not be mentoring per se, but they're, you know, professional organizations or just groups that get together to talk about hard topics. Like last night, for example, there was a meeting, topic was artificial intelligence and, mm-hmm. and risks and things like that and opportunities. And it was a really good discussion, but it's personal time. You know, it's all part of figuring out what you can do to grow, but it does take time and effort.
Yeah, I think it's so important to remember that it's going to be very rare that a problem or an issue you're encountering has likely come up in some other setting before. So it's so nice to have that resource of people right. for you to go and sort of discuss what's happening and what your thoughts are, because it's likely that someone in that group has encountered it in some way. So it's definitely a great resource to have. And then looking back, is there anything you wish you had known before you begun your professional career?
There's a lot that I wish I would have known. I mean, so one of the things that that I do is we do this like STEM mentoring with Massachusetts Bay Community College students. And so I've been a mentor with them for like the last 4 years or so. And I was talking to one of the students a couple months ago, and I was telling him that like I was thinking about the things that I was doing 5 years ago here at Intellia and all the things that I didn't know at the time. And the student was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, how did you not know all those things? And I was like, I'm learning constantly. Like everybody mm-hmm. is learning constantly. Yeah. And so I think that that's something that earlier on in my career, I don't think I fully appreciated. I thought that like, oh, the things I'm learning in college are going to be all the information I'm going to need in my professional career. And then I'm just going to start working and know exactly what I'm doing. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Like I think in every job I've ever had, there's been just a tremendous amount of learning that happens, and it's all the time. And because there's, especially within like IT, and I'm sure that it's the same way with a lot of other roles as well. I mean, like if you think about Intellia with like cutting edge science,
yeah,
the scientists are learning constantly also. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's been something that I don't think I fully appreciated early on in my career, but it's something that I've completely embraced over the last, you know, more than a decade of my career, that like, you have to have this culture of learning within your team, and also to have that mindset for yourself, where you need to constantly be growing as a person and learning about new things that are out there, because it's constant. And if you don't learn, you're going to fall behind.
Exactly.
And so I think that for any of these, any new topic that comes up or any area that your company pivots and starts shifting towards, you have to be ready and embrace it. And so like one of the things we do on my team is every quarter, the leaders on my team and I get together and we talk about like, what are the things you've learned over the last quarter?
Oh,
and
cool.
So it could be things like if you went to a conference, or if you attended some, you know, professional training or went to a webinar or whatever it is, like, it's like, just explain, you know, some ways that you've grown and learned over the last quarter, because I want to have and instill that like culture of learning within my own team as well, because it is critical for all of us to keep learning.
I love that. We're probably going to have to steal that in HR, because that's such a good tip. But no, I totally agree with you. I remember early on, my mom told me to always be gaining new skills, and I have a good job if I'm learning those new skills, and to leave that job if I'm not getting new skills. And obviously that's on me too, the individual, not just like the company, to give me those skills that I need to seek them out. But no, I think that's really, really good advice.
That's when we go to career fairs, Maritza, that's one of the things that I always emphasize is, regardless, of course, there's going to be baseline knowledge you need, especially going into a science field, but you're going to learn so much on the job, especially when they're coming in, not even as full-time, you know, employees, but interns. The point of an internship is for you to learn and absorb and go back, like basically enter Intellia as a sponge and take everything in as much in as you can. So it's so true. And I wish, you know, they said that more to us in college, is focus on work, but realize that you need to learn how to be a good learner, because you'll be learning mm-hmm. for the rest of your forever. Career.
Yeah. It's never over.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And then what is something either in your professional career or in your personal life that you would consider your greatest triumph?
That's a good question. So I guess I do feel like I have a long way to go as far as like career wise to figure out like a greatest triumph. But I would say that something that's been maybe the most rewarding for me over the past few years is building the team that I have here at Intellia, where I feel like that's been a big triumph, that starting off from a really small group to where we are today, where we have clear roles and responsibilities and experts who we've been able to bring in from other companies who bring all their background and expertise in these areas to really propel us forward, has been something that I find incredibly rewarding as a team. And so I think that for a professional triumph of like building a team of people who can help us with like, de-risking some things for like cybersecurity, or, getting all of our R&D systems ready for the phase 3 clinical trials, and feeling confident in the team that we have, because knowing that they can do all these things has been amazing, because I know that there's no chance that I could have done any of that stuff by myself. And so bringing in people that can do those things and really take action and produce really high quality work is a triumph. And that's something that I don't take lightly at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, on your part, creating an environment where everyone obviously has their own skills and their own talents, but can work effectively together to accomplish what needs to get done. And then my final question before we go into our rapid fire finale questions is, what is next for your career?
As far as what's next, for me personally, I definitely want to be part of a company that is not only developing drugs and getting them in clinical trials, but also selling them. So working for a commercial organization is really important to me. I'm also interested in just the running of like how companies run. And so if you think about like a chief operating officer or a role similar to that, where you're not just focusing on like IT, but also kind of the general operations of the company, that's a role mm-hmm. that's also interested in me as well.
Yeah. So that's awesome. All right, time for our rapid fire. So just tell us the first thing that comes to your mind. Our new question for this season that I'm really excited about is, what is a hidden talent of yours?
I would say that a lot of people don't know that I'm like a musician. So like as far as like percussion and guitar and basically like I love music and instruments. And so playing guitar is something that I love doing. And that's a way for me to kind of relax from the day,
That's cool. A really awesome talent. Wow. Thanks. Okay, great. And then what is something you're currently working on that you are excited about?
As far as like work goes, I would say that it's really the plan, figuring out what we can and can't do, what we should mm-hmm. and shouldn't do as a company. And also, we're building a new building out in Waltham. And so a lot mm-hmm. of our time is being spent with kind of getting the infrastructure ready for out there. It's a large facility. And so that's been, exciting to plan. And so I would say those are kind of the immediate things for us.
Those are great. Great. And then our last question is, what is your favorite thing about working at Intellia?
Well, I mean, from a benefit perspective, the 3 weeks of shutdowns are pretty amazing.
Yes.
That's definitely my favorite thing, as far as like having the time off in the holidays and then mm-hmm. April vacation for schools. Yeah. And then the week of the 4th of July is pretty incredible. And I don't know any other companies that do that.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of companies have like the holiday shutdown and maybe one in the summer. But to have three, I think, is pretty phenomenal from a benefits perspective. And
agreed.
Yeah, I love that.
And I love that they are aligned, like you said, at least with Massachusetts school vacation week. It's really great for working parents.
It is. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much, Mike, for coming on the podcast today and sharing your story with us.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. It was nice to talk to you guys.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you so much.
All right. See y'all.